Good morning. It's a blessing to see you this morning. If you would stand with us, we're going to start out by singing, "There is no rock like our God." Sing this with us.
Fiercest drowning Calls me home here in the power of Christ.
comes only through the blood of your Son, Jesus. And that is a promise that we can stake our life on, Lord. You never change, you never waver, though the world is constantly changing, Lord. Though we fail you daily, you never fail us. You are the King of kings and the Lord of lords, and yet you choose to love me. And Lord, I can't understand it, but I'm so grateful. I'm so thankful, Jesus, that you died knowing my weakness, but believing and knowing that your strength is stronger, Lord, than anything I can face or ever do, Lord. We give you glory this morning, and we continue to worship you, Jesus. You are holy, you are worthy, you are majesty, dear Lord. Thank you, God, for your presence here with us this morning. We just praise you, Jesus, and pray that you would continue to change us, Lord, so that we might be changed and used by you to change the world. We love you, Lord, and thank you, God, for your Son, Jesus Christ. And in your holy name we pray. Amen. Continue to worship with us this morning. This song is called Majesty. Think about this. The King of kings and the Lord of lords of the universe chooses to love us. And if we can't worship him when thinking about that, then I don't know what's wrong with us. So just sing this morning and think about that day when we will crown him with the crown that he gives to us. We will throw our crowns at his feet, and that should give us something to worship about this morning. So continue to sing with us if you would.
Crown him with many crowns.
let's continue to worship the Lord this morning as we lift up Brother Donnie before he brings the word to us. So if you're a prayer partner, if you would come forward at this time.
What a blessing it is to be able to worship. Amen? I want to thank you again for joining us this morning. If you would, go ahead and turn in your Bibles to the book of Ephesians in chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5. And we're going to be studying this morning verses 22 through 33. Ephesians chapter 5, verses 22 through 33. The last couple of messages in this series, we have been in, I guess, the six verses or so leading up to where we're going to be today. And in verses 15 through 18, the Apostle Paul, he addressed the importance of us watching our walk, or in other words, paying very careful attention to the way we live as Christians if we are trying to make an impact for Christ. Because we told you, it's not those who talk the talk who makes the difference, it's those who walk the walk who make the difference for the Lord Jesus Christ. And specifically in verse 18, Paul encourages us in the most important aspect of walking the walk we need to walk as believers, when he says, be filled with the Holy Spirit. And this means that daily or continually, we are to ask God to fill us afresh with His Holy Spirit. We are to give God on a daily basis complete control of our lives so that the decisions we make and the steps we take and the things we do will be the things that God wants us to do. And so last Sunday, we talked about three characteristics of what that kind of life looks like, the Spirit-filled life looks like. We talked about the importance of worship, how it doesn't matter the style of song or whatever may be your preference. It matters the condition of our hearts and whether or not we're willing to engage in worship. We talked about the importance of gratitude and how vitally important it is on a daily basis to have a spirit of gratitude if we are a Christian, because God has been so good to us and given us all the good things that are in our lives. But we ended last week by talking about the importance of submission. And it's that final characteristic, submission, that really leads us into this next section in Ephesians chapter 5 that we're going to start talking about today when it comes to building a better marriage. Now, in verse 21, as we ended last week, we read the word simply from Paul, submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. Submitting yourselves one to another. So it's very clear that really in the context of what Paul is saying, he is speaking in the context of in our relationships with other people, we are to submit one to the other. Now, the truth is very simply this: there is no more important relationship on the face of the earth, outside of your relationship with Christ, than the relationship between a husband and a wife. In fact, the relationship between a husband and wife, marriage itself, was instituted by God before His own people were chosen to be His covenant nation of Israel, before He chose us through Jesus Christ to be His church. God instituted marriage all the way back in the very beginning with Adam and with Eve. And it was this relationship of a husband and wife that has always been so vitally important, second to only one's relationship with Jesus Christ. And so obviously, what Paul is going to share with us in these verses we're looking at this morning, what he is sharing with us is something that God really wants us to know. Because if that relationship is that important to God, then it should be that important to us, the way we have a relationship with our husband and wife. If I ask you the question today, and please don't raise your hand just in case Your spouse might take it the wrong way, and I know spouses never do that, but just in case they might, don't raise your hand. But if I ask you this, think to yourself, again, don't raise your hand. If I ask you the question, would you like to have a better marriage? Most all of you would say yes. Now, some of you think, well, my marriage is as good as it gets, and you're lying. Because no marriage is as good as it gets. It can always have room for improvement. But when it comes to that question, God wanted us to know how to have a better marriage so much so that he told Paul to write about it. And that's what we're going to look at this morning in verses 22 through 33. So dive in and let's look at verse 22, read through verse 33. We're not going to focus on all the verses today. We're going to start by doing part one of this message, building a better marriage. And he says this in verse 22, wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify or set it apart and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word, that he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. So ought men, Paul says, to love their wives as their own bodies. He that loveth his wife loveth himself, for no man ever yet hated his own flesh, but nourisheth and cherisheth it, even as the Lord the church. For we are members of his body, of his flesh, and of his bones. Verse 31, he references back to an Old Testament passage, for this cause shall a man leave his father and mother, and shall be joined unto his wife, and they two shall be one flesh. This is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. Now notice finally what he says in verse 33, nevertheless, let every one of you in particular so love his wife, even as himself, and the wife see that she reverence her husband. A woman accompanied her husband to the doctor's office. After the checkup, the doctor took the wife aside and said, if you don't do the following, then your husband is surely going to die. So he told her what she needed to do each morning, fix him a healthy breakfast, and sent him off to work in a good mood. At lunchtime, make him a warm, nutritious meal and put him in a good frame of mind before he goes back to work. Number three, for dinner, fix an especially nice meal and don't burden him with household chores. Number four, satisfy his every whim or desire. Well, on the way home, the husband asked his wife what the doctor had said, and she simply thought a moment and replied, he said, you're going to die. You see, there are ways that wives need to treat their husbands. That's not one of the ways that they need to treat their husbands. But today we're going to talk about the wives' perspective, that side of things, because ladies first, right? No, really, because Paul came to the wife first. And we're going to talk about, really, the importance of two things specifically that Paul talks about for a woman to be the wife that her husband needs and that God wants her to be. If you're not married, then these are things you need to take note of because they'll go a long way in helping you have a better marriage when you get to that point. And if you've been married and maybe you've been married 50 or 60 years and you're thinking, well, this is not for me, you know, I'm kind of got it figured out at this point, then I'm sorry you don't have it figured out because God's the only one that kind of has everything figured out. And there are things in this for you as well. So let's dive in. The first thing about building a better marriage from this perspective of the lady, here is what's required, first of all, what Paul talks about, a wife who submits to her husband. Now, I know when I say that, I don't say it with caution, but I say it kind of watching for things to be thrown at me, if that's the way of saying it, because women don't like to hear the idea of submitting to their husbands. And you may have already thought to yourself, well, Pastor, do you really believe a wife should submit to her husband? I do, absolutely, 110%, only because God believes it as well. Look at what Paul says in verse 22. He says, wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. Now, when it comes to this verse and this concept of a wife submitting to her husband, so many people see this verse from a completely wrong perspective. This verse is not teaching that women are somehow inferior to men or that they are to be as slaves to men.
Let me state that one more time, and every lady in here, listen, please, very closely. This verse does not teach that you are inferior to your husband or men, and that you are to be enslaved to your husband or men. In fact, he's even kind of specific that it's in your own, to your own husband, so you can wipe away the whole, all men are bad, you know, if they believe this kind of thing. The idea of this submission is placed in the context of your marriage. And Paul is urging and encouraging the lady to understand the importance. If they want a marriage that God will honor, then they need to respect and understand the significance of submitting to their husbands. And that is what God is saying here. This doesn't mean that, again, wives have no rights or privileges apart from what their husband gives her. And it doesn't mean that those of us who believe a wife should submit to their husbands are male chauvinist pigs, because that's not the truth at all. It comes down to the fact of this. Do you want a better marriage? Do you want the marriage that God wants you to have? If you do, then you have to do things God's way in your marriage. And God says, because this is His word through Paul, that wives should submit to their husbands. Now, let's remember from last week what true submission really is. True submission, it does not mean that you are not important. Submission does not mean that you are less important. But submission means that you value the importance of the other person. And in the context of this verse, that you value the significance of your husband, and even more so, the role that God has given him in your home. And regardless of what society wants to do and tries to do, listen to me very closely, regardless of the feminist empowerment movement, God has established the husband to be the leader of the home. Now, having said that, I understand that there are some homes who don't have that husband or fatherly figure. My mother was a single mom for much of my growing up, and so I understand there are different life situations and circumstances that take place regardless of what may have caused those. But in the context of the traditional husband and wife in one home, then it's very simple. The husband is to be the leader, the head of that home, and the wife is to submit to the husband. Now, don't get mad at me, ladies. Again, don't get mad at me about what I'm saying. If you got a problem with it, take it up with God. He kind of wrote it, and you won't get very far taking it up with God. I can just be honest with you. I've tried on some other things. It just don't really work too good. But notice what he says in verse 23. He says, "For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body." So as Christ is the head of the church, so the husband is the head of the home. Now, Christ, He's the Savior of the body, the church. He gave His life on the cross so that we can be a part of His family, so that we can be a part of the church. And Paul is telling us that in relation to Christ's relationship with the church, the husband has that same relationship with the wife. He has the role of leader and provider and protector of his wife, even as Christ is all of those things to the church. And sincerely, please hear me out. If you want God's marriage for your life, then you have to honor the place of the husband in your home. And I'm just being honest with you, ladies, this morning. You may have the stronger personality, but you are not the stronger vessel. You may have more administrative skills, but you are not to be the leader of your home. You may want to be the boss and act like the boss and think you are the boss by mothering your husband, but that's not the way that God intended for it to be. They don't need a mother, they need a wife. And that's not the design that God has for you as a wife in the context of your marriage. And if your husband is living in the fear of the Lord, again, this is in the context of the fear of the Lord. If your husband's life is conforming to God's will, then let him lead you and you follow him. And you will be following after Christ as long as the heart of your husband remains in the right place with God. And this is one of the single greatest ways how you can show your husband that you really love him. If you honor his God-given role as spiritual leader in your home by submitting to his leadership. Wives, submit to their husbands. There are two additional truths that Paul mentions here that speak of the importance of submitting to the husband in the home. First of all, here's how you have to look at it, ladies, and certainly men, when it comes to us next week as well. But when you submit to your husband, it displays your submission to Christ. It displays your submission to Christ. Notice Paul said, "Wives, submit yourselves unto your husbands as unto the Lord." Now, just because I know how some ladies think, some wives may think to themselves, "Well, I take my orders from God and not my husband. I don't take my orders from any man. Only God tells me what to do." And regardless of how you got to that notion and got to that place, here's the deal. Paul emphasizes here that when the wife submits to her husband, She's really displaying submission to Christ. So if you only take your marching orders from God, then you can only take those orders correctly if you listen to what Paul is saying here by submitting to your husband. Because God's telling you to do it here. Submitting to your husband is the only way you can submit to God in the context of your marriage relationship. And though I know sometimes that's difficult for us to get to the place of understanding, but look at it this way. If you want to honor God in your own individual life, then wives, you have to honor God by first submitting to your husband. Because if you're not doing that, then you're living outside of the will of God. Because he is specifically teaching us the importance of this. So your submissiveness to Christ and to your husband are tied together, essentially, from what Paul is saying in verse 22. So to be a Christ follower that Christ wants you to be, then you have to submit to Christ, but you also, in doing so, have to submit to your husband. Again, this is all with the understanding that your husband is living in the will of God and therefore leading you in the will of God. This is not saying your husband is outside of the will of God and will be leading you in a direct contradiction to the Word of God and to the will of God for your life and your family. So first of all, it displays her submission to Christ. Secondly, it applies to every situation. This concept of submitting to the husband, the head of the home, applies to every situation that you may face in the context of your marriage and in your life. Notice verse 24, he says, "Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands." And then he says this, and this is the part I know some folks would probably just like to scribble away, but there's some caution about that back on up in Revelation that we don't need to mess with the words of this book. But regardless, he says this, "So let the wives be to their own husbands in everything." So the church, the bride of Christ, that's all of us who are Christians, we are to be subject unto Christ in everything. There's not a part of our lives that we are not to subject unto Christ. Not a decision we make that we are not to subject under the authority of Christ. None of those things. Every area of life we are to subject to Christ, who is the head of the body of Christ itself. And now Paul is saying that in the same way that the church must submit to Christ in every area, in every way, in every issue, then we are to do the same as wives to the husbands. Husbands are to see that same type of submission in everything, in every area, and with every issue. Now, I am by no means an expert in this marriage deal. I've only been married for 6 years now, a little over 6 years, actually about 6.5 years. We're not quite to 50 yet, but we're on our way, by God's grace, getting there. But one thing I have tried to do is I've tried to learn a lot from the one who is an expert, and that is God. Because I believe he's an expert in everything. I try to learn from the one who created male and female and purposed them to be husband and wife to begin with. And here is what I have learned. There are many different ways for a wife to demonstrate her love for her husband. Many, many, many different ways, wives, that you can demonstrate your love for your husband. But one of the greatest ways to do so is to follow his leadership, even in the areas and during the times when you may or may not agree with his leadership. Women, don't look so hatefully. Quit that, okay? Quit that. I'm going to start throwing something at you, okay? Quit. But really, that's the truth. He says, in everything. And I know you're thinking, well, but it just doesn't make sense what he wants to do. That's where faith comes in, doesn't it? Don't you think? But the last time I did it, it just turned out terrible. Well, that's where forgiveness comes in, doesn't it? Amen, ladies? Amen? But I just see it differently than he sees it. That's where following comes in, ladies. You just be the wife, and you let him be the husband. Submit to his leadership and show him how much you love him by doing so. And you will find this. You will find that as you let him lead and you just simply submit to his leadership, then he will become a better leader. He'll become the leader you've been praying for him to become, but yet you've not submitted enough for him to have confidence in his leadership of your home. He'll become a better leader because he sees that you're willing to follow. And he's responsible then to not lead your home away from the heart of God, but rather to pursue God in all things. And one of the greatest ways that my wife has shown her love for me in these last 6.5 years is even when she may not see it the way I see it, even when we may not agree at the time, she still says, "Okay, you're the leader of the home, honey, and I'm going to follow your leadership." And she has never once not did that. And that has always made me feel appreciated as much as one possibly could, but also loved as much as a wife can love a husband. So submission. Deep breath, ladies. 1, 2, 3. Okay, all right. You still love your pastor? Don't answer that. Wait until afterwards, and maybe it'll get better. The second thing is this. Not only does it take a wife who submits to her husband, it takes a wife who respects her husband. It takes a wife who respects her husband. Go back, back forward. That doesn't make any sense. Go forward to verse 33. Nevertheless, you got me nervous, ladies. You have me nervous. I mean, I'm going to have my bodyguards with me. I'm just watching you jump around the corner when this is done with and take me out. Nevertheless, let every one of you in particular so love his wife even as himself. And then he says this, and the wife see that she reverence or respects her husband. That word reverence, again, means respects her husband. For a marriage to be a godly marriage, a great marriage, the wife needs to make sure, or see that, it's the way Paul says it, she shows her husband respect. Respect. Now, though there was a song by Tina Turner, R-E-S-P-E-C-T, and you ladies probably used to love that. Wasn't it Tina Turner? Was that it? I know Aretha Franklin, who I did not see. You know how much I listen to that stuff. Whoever did that, Aretha Franklin, whoever it was, I know you probably used to sing that all the time. You probably got into the whole, she was the Rolling on the River lady, wasn't she? Tina Turner, was she the Rolling on the River lady? Okay, all right, just making sure. I had to clarify that before I went on. It would have bugged me to death. But regardless, you know what I'm saying. You used to get on, because women, they like to be respected. But listen, as much as Franklin wanted R-E-S-P-E-C-T, it's your husband that needs R-E-S-P-E-C-T more than any other person in your life. It is your husband that needs respect in order to feel loved, valued, and appreciated by his wife and his family. In addition to submitting to the leadership of your husband, showing him respect is another powerful love language that you must learn to speak for you to have the marriage that God wants you to have. It's so vitally important. Let me give you an acrostic. I like acrostics because it kind of just helps us remember it. Let me give you an acrostic from the word respect that will kind of show you how to respect your husband. Now, this is from life experience. This is not something I looked up at. This is just from life experience that I have seen in our own marriage. And I'm sharing this with you because I know how these things have made me feel loved and appreciated and respected in the context of my own marriage and relationship with my wife. And so the R, here it is, the R stands for rely upon him. Rely upon him. Rely upon his leadership, ladies. If your husband is leading, then just start following. If he is leading, then start following his leadership as he leads you as the God-given head of your home. And in the role that God has given him in your home. The E stands for encourage him often. One of the things that your husband does not need, again, is another boss and another mother. Your husband needs a wife who will encourage. Your husband needs someone who will make him feel special and not someone who will make him feel worse. Because as a husband, we already deal with pride. And when the job situation's iffy, when the day hasn't been that great at work, when there's a lot of stress because of financial strain and other hardships in life, listen to me, no one takes that harder than your husband. No one. Because God has given us this God-given inclination and desire in our hearts to lead our home well and to be a provider who provides well. And the last thing your husband needs is any more discouragement when you're going through those moments in your marriage. He needs you to be an encourager. You should be the greatest encourager that your husband has. It shouldn't be another lady or another person or someone at the church who leads the role of encouragement in your husband's life. It should be you. You, ladies, should be the encourager for your husband. You should always strive to make him feel special. The S stands for support. Support him always. Without hesitation, you should always give your husband support. If it's before your family, you should always support your husband first. Before your children, you always support your husband first. Your husband never needs to look for, search for, hope for the support that you can offer him. He needs to always find your support. I've told you this before. You need to be the biggest fan that your husband has. You need to toot his horn. Don't let him do it. Us men like to toot our own. You need to be doing it. You need to be the greatest support that your husband can have. The P stands for place him first. Place him first. And don't scratch your head here saying where this fits in, because I know when kids come into the picture, it changes a lot. And I know how attached women and wives are, mothers are to their children. And I know that if we're not careful, then even our kids at times can come before the needs of the husband. And you need to place your husband first. Before your kids, before your parents. We're going to talk about leaving and cleaving next week. Before your parents, before your friends, and even before yourself, you are to place your husband first. And I know you're thinking, well, man, you're getting it good for yourself. That's what, no, listen to me. Listen, we're going to get on the husband next week, and we're going to share with you the kind of husband that you won't have any problem doing these things for. But please place him first in your life. The E stands empower him. Empower him to lead. Empower him to lead. Here's what I mean by that. Quit trying to take the wheel or wear the pants in your home. That is your husband's God-given role. That is your husband's God-given role. Empower your husband to lead. And oftentimes you will find that man that you seem to think he doesn't want to lead and have no desire to lead, he's too quiet and too passive to lead, you'll find if you just empower him to lead, honey, I want you to lead our home, you'll find that he'll step up and lead and take off and be the husband that you've been praying and desiring for him to be. Communicate your concerns. That's the C. Communicate your concerns. I didn't say shout or yell them at him. Or assume that he knows. Amen, men? Or assume that he knows your concerns, lady. Again, we are wired differently. When we're watching the football game, we are in the football game room. We're not in the listen room. We're in football mode. So you need to make sure that, don't just assume that we know and we hear. Make sure you communicate your concerns to your husband so that we're walking on the same path and we're not fighting an argument that's really not there to begin with. Be sure that you communicate your concerns, because men are clueless. No matter how long you're married to us, we still stay clueless. So you've got to communicate your concerns. Don't fuss and gripe about them to other people. Communicate your concerns to your husband. And then finally, thank him. Thank him. Thank him. I cannot tell you how much of a blessing it is when I come home after a busy day at work and I'm stressed out from church stuff or something else, and come home and try to give my kids time, how much it means for Rachel to tell me at some point in the night, thank you. Thank you for what you do for the church and our family, what you do for the kids. For the piggyback rides you give, even when you're tired and emotionally, thank you. It makes all the difference in the world for your husband to hear thank you from you. So thank him for his leadership. Thank him for his care. Thank him for his provision. And I could go on and on, but thank your husband. Thank your husband for what he does. So respect. So ladies, next time you demand respect, R-E-S-P-E-C-T, then make sure that you're showing respect to your husband in that way. And I promise you this, if you do that, you won't ever have a problem with feeling respected and loved from your husband. Ladies, it's very simple. For the most part, most men are not hard to please. I'm just being honest with you. Men are not, we're kind of like dogs. You feed us and rub our belly and we're good. I mean, I'm just being honest with you. If I have a full belly and you can just, hey, rub my belly, rub my head, I am in heaven on earth. I mean, it's fine with me. That's great. But sincerely, though, it's not that complicated. Just purpose yourself to be the wife your husband needs and the wife that God has called you to be. You're not going to be perfect at it, because by all means, us men aren't perfect at anything. Nobody is. But strive and purpose yourself to be the wife that God calls you to be, that He teaches you to be in His Word. Just submit to His leadership as He seeks the leadership of God. And just respect Him by making sure that He feels appreciated, making sure that He knows you trust in His leadership. Because here's what I have found. There is no wife more beautiful than the wife who loves her husband in this way. I mean, yeah, I know we have to be physically attracted to our wives. That's a big part of stuff. I understand that. But no wife is more beautiful to a husband than the wife who respects and submits to her husband in the way that God is teaching us in this passage. And there is nothing more beautiful for a man's ears to hear than, honey, I trust your leadership, and I appreciate everything you do for us. And that is music to my ears. And that's what your husband desires from you. Dr. E.V. Hill, he was a dynamic and very powerful black minister who serves as senior pastor of Mount Zion Missionary Baptist Church in Los Angeles. He lost his wife, Jane, to cancer a few years ago. At her funeral, Dr. Hill described some of the ways that she had made him a better man. As a struggling young preacher, E.V. had trouble earning a living. And E.V., he came home one night and he found the house in pitch black darkness. When he opened the door, he saw that Jane had prepared a candlelight dinner for two. He thought that was a great idea and went into the bathroom to wash his hands. And he tried unsuccessfully time and again to turn the light on. Then he felt his way into the bedroom and he flipped another switch and darkness prevailed. Well, the young pastor went back to the dining room and he asked Jane why the electricity was off. And then she just began to sob and just began to cry. She said, "Honey, you work so hard and I know you're trying and we're trying, but it's pretty tough and I didn't have enough money to pay the light bill. I didn't want you to know about it, so I thought we would just eat by candlelight tonight." Dr. Hill, he described his wife's words with intense emotion. He said she could have said, "I've never been in this situation before. I was reared in the home of Dr. Carruthers and we never had our lights cut off." He said she could have broken my spirit. She could have ruined me. She could have demoralized me. But instead she said, "Somehow or another we'll get these lights back on. But tonight we're just going to eat by candlelight." Dr. Hill continued and said, "She was my protector. Some years ago I received quite a few death threats. And one night I received notice that I would be killed the next day. I woke up thankful to be alive, but I noticed that she was gone. I looked out the window and my car was gone. I went outside and finally I saw her driving up and I said, 'Where have you been?' She said, It just occurred to me that they could have put a bomb in that car last night, and if you had gotten in there, then you'd have been blown away. So I got up and I drove it to make sure that everything was okay." She said, "Just so you know, it's all right." You see, we don't want this super woman that you wives have envisioned for us wanting you to be. No, we just want you to love us, to respect us, submit to our leadership as God leads us, to be that woman who's always there to make us better and not worse. And that's the kind of wife that can build a better marriage. And that's my challenge to you this morning, to be that kind of wife for your husband and for your marriage.